see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre.
Radio at its best.
And now back to Satchmo.
Sky are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
From the Art Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for tuning us in from wherever that may be. Missed a couple of shows, but we're going to make up for it today. Going to catch you folks up on the fundraiser that we did for WCOM, which turned out quite well at the, what is the name of that? The
Hickory Tavern.
Thank you. Got historian Bob Crowley here today to catch us up on some things. I want to dedicate the show to B.B. King. I meant to do that a show ago, but couldn't make it. So this is definitely dedicated to the one and only B.B. King that has left us. I also want to dedicate it to a friend of mine who's still with us, King Obstinate. I used to be his co-host back in 77 on Radio 1 in St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands, the King Obstinate Calypso Show. And he used to start the show by saying, ladies and gentlemen, you want to watch your business grow? Advertise on the King Obstinate Calypso Show. The banana boat is in the harbor. Please go buy the bananas before they get soft and you got to chase out the tarantulas. We need you to go down to the banana boat. It's in the harbor today. Anyway, that was my time with King Obstinate, and I'm hoping he's somewhere in Antigua and hears some of this. So that's the show today, and I'm going to continue my interview with Rocco about his magnificent career in radio and all the big band gentlemen and other musicians and band members that he met during his career on radio. So we're going to go back to that eventually. We're going to cut a CD of by just putting all these interviews together, so we'll have his whole life story. But until then, it's going to go on from show to show. I'm going to go ahead and turn the microphone over to our historian who's going to start the day.
Oh, you want me to? I was going to go to the banana boat. I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah, I was on my way there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me first.
Yeah. Well, we only have one truly historic event today. Today is the 108th birthday of John Wayne.
Oh, my goodness.
And we must genuflect appropriately for that. Maybe not for his politics, but at least for the man.
The man who did all these war movies but never joined the military at all himself.
No, but he wore every uniform the United States ever had. Born in Iowa, right down the street from Radar O'Reilly, he was.
Oh, really?
And, but that was...
Could have been his dad.
Yeah, 1907, so he would have been 108 years old today and probably still fighting a war someplace on the screen.
Doubt. There's another acknowledgement I do want to make very quickly before I forget, and that is Ann Mirren. Jerry Stiller's wife, who, of course, she's known for more than that, the comedian Ben Stiller's mother, who passed away. So this is a sad time for that family. Yeah, heart goes
absolutely.
Out to them.
Absolutely. But And you mentioned B.B. King. You know, I met him once out
in
San
Francisco.
Yeah,
give us that scoop.
Well, it was no big deal. I was at a conference in San Francisco, and he was part of a special entertainment evening for the organizers. We all went to dinner, and B.B. sang for us. We all got to meet B.B. and shake his hand and under the watchful eye of this monstrous security guard that followed him
around.
Even
back then, so he had a bodyguard around him all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it was. That was part of the image, you know.
I guess,
bodyguard.
Yeah. I think of blues artists as people just sort of drag in with their stuff and set up on stage.
Yeah, and he probably could have done that, but there's a kind of a cultural thing where you do that so it makes you seem real important that you need it, even if you don't need it. But
like
he was a neat guy.
Like wearing a tie, huh?
Yeah, basically. But that man could play.
I know.
Oh, God.
Well, he affected everybody. My God.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's for today. So,
Rocco, did you ever meet B.B. King?
I never met B.B. King. And
I'm surprised.
You know, he was from Memphis and close to Elvis Presley. And talking about bodyguards,
oh my God.
You could remember seeing Elvis Presley before he went on the stage with 10 bodyguards just completely surrounding him. That whole image of, you know, to make you even more important.
Yep. I remember an interview that I saw with Elvis Presley in his younger days, although he was already, I'd say, middle-aged. And they asked, the DJ asked him, this was in Tennessee, asked him if he had it to do again all over, what would he do different this time? And he said he would do everything he could not to be so famous because he's a prisoner in his own home. He can't even walk down the street without the public freaking out. And you really, you know, if you're looking for fame, keep that in mind.
He had to live in a gilded cage.
Yep. Literally.
Really, and could not go anywhere in public without drawing a crowd.
Well, while we're on subjects like that, did you ever meet John Wayne?
I never met John Wayne.
What was his real name?
Marion Robert Morrison. Hmm. He didn't like Marion. That's why.
At least he wasn't called Blue Bonnet.
No, but he was. They had a dog that was named Duke, and he picked that up. So it's kind of like him and Indiana Jones. You know, we named the dog Indiana. Well, they named the dog Duke, but he picked that up too.
I read an article, Bob and Claudio, about 10 years ago in some movie magazine where they listed the top box office stars from the 1920s up until 10 years ago, and which year this individual person was the biggest box office star. And when you total it all up, John Wayne was the runaway biggest star Hollywood ever had.
That's amazing.
Even today, I mean, you run a John Wayne movie on any TV channel or something, you're going to get top kind of ratings on it. It's just incredible that he could affect it. I got a wonderful picture of him, though, when he did Laugh-In on right around Easter one year in a purple bunny suit. He had a sense of humor as well.
Well, he played all these roles that defined the rugged, tough, take-no-anything from anybody, American male, and cowboys and military people, and just those types of rugged individualists.
Yeah. I'm not going to hit you. No, I'm not. Hell, I'm not. Yeah. But anyway, that's it. So, John, wherever you are, thanks a lot, and hope you're making some movies up there, too.
What's the scoop with anything new? Oh, Rocco had something to say.
Who do you think, Bob and Claudio, would be the John Wayne of today or...
I was thinking Eastwood there for a while.
Clint Eastwood, but he's now 85 years old.
Still a great director, but I think acting is sort of fading on him.
Yeah, basically. I'm not sure who I'd pick today.
Today.
I don't know that there is, but there's probably someone.
Well, Kevin Costner is one of my favorites, but I don't know that he's not the John Wayne type image.
Yeah. So,
but he can pull off a Western, though.
Now, of course, if you go before John, you've got Randolph Scott.
Yes.
He was very big.
And before that, William S. Hart, who virtually no one knows. My father idolized him. I remember him talking about it. William S. Hart was the John Wayne, if you will, of the silent era. And when they made the original silent version of the movie Ben-Hur, he played Ben-Hur and did his own chariot driving, as I understand.
Well, for a while there in Hollywood, you had the singing cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tex Ritter.
Before then, there was Tom Mix.
Exactly.
And his Wonder Horse, whose name I don't remember.
Can't
right
think
now.
Of his name. Yeah.
Tom Mix. Sounds like somebody runs a board.
He could be, you know, or a good bartender.
Get that mix right. Any news about the Apex Arts Council you want to cue us into?
Well, we're chugging along. We got all kinds of things happening. The big next thing we're going to have is our spring dance finale at the Halley Cultural Arts Center on June 12th. That is from our Dance Theater of Apex. They will be doing their thing there. And I understand there may be some tickets left at the door. So if you're there in the the late afternoon of June 12th, you definitely want to go down there. And then, of course, we're planning for the June 14th, we'll have the Red, White, and Brew Arts and Crafts Festival.
As in beer. Yes.
As in, yeah, and it's also being held at Brewprint in Apex. And it's Red, White, and Brew because it's Flag Day. We want to show that off. And we've got a good number of folks that are going to be there, vendors, artists, crafters, all sorts of things. So come on out.
This is going to be in downtown Apex?
No, Brewprint is just outside. You just look up Brewprint, Brewprint.com, and you'll be able to find them. And definitely you want to go there. There'll be live music and all sorts of stuff.
Now, you said something about next Saturday is something going on at the railroad.
Yeah, that's our Brew and Chew. We have these, and C-H-O-O, as in Chew Chew.
Ah.
But
I was imagining chewing tobacco. Sorry. Yeah.
No. We do this on Saturday evenings every other month or so. We'll have a food truck or two. Clower Family Vineyards will be there with wine, and I think it's Carolina Brewers will be there with beer.
And tell folks the name of the station and how to get there.
And you definitely want to be there. This is at the New Hope Valley Railway in Bonsall, B-O-N-S-A-L. And if you go to the website, TriangleTrain.com, you'll be able to find us and buy tickets and do whatever.
Get a one-hour train ride.
And get a one-hour train ride, have a few brews. It's just a great thing to do, and a lot of people, amazingly enough, we found people bringing dates there.
Get the conductor drunk, I'll play the conductor.
You get the conductor drunk, the FRA is going to shut us down. That's illegal. But anyway, that's what's going
that's
on basically around, yeah.
All right. Well, Rocco, what do you say we go to a tune, and then we'll sort of think about what we want to go on with?
We were talking earlier, Claudio, about Count Basie. Talking a little bit about Count Basie and his big band and a little bit about...
Somebody you met, right?
I met Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and I thought we'd start the music with something by the Count Basie big band.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You got a count, a duke, and a king.
Okay, there we go. We've got them all today. Thank you.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And you were just listening to Count Basie, whom Rocco had the pleasure of meeting. We're going to go on with that a little in just a moment. I want to mention something. I want to add something to my little King Obstinate reference. He used to do his opening with, this is, you're now listening to the King Obstinate Calypso Show. And I always liked it when he sort of leaned into the mic and he goes, for the next 1 hour, the country's mine. And he was the Elvis Presley of Calypso, so he was the one to know. Won all the Calypso festivals back in the 70s. And he's still going strong. I understand he lives in Antigua now. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I still want to remember about him, but I think that was the main thing. That and the banana boat.
Yep.
Back to Rocco.
Bob and Claudio, have either of you ever had a chance to hear the Count Basie Big Band in person?
No, unfortunately not.
I want to say that a Hilton hotel that I was chefing in engaged his band at one time in the 70s, but I'm not very clear on that memory, but I know he was touring a lot.
Well, if you were to hear the band and be there in person, it was a different experience.
It had to be.
It really was something special. I'm going to read something that was written about the band.
Okay.
About, I am going to say, 40 years ago. Maybe 45 years ago. In this description, listen to this. The Count Basie Band was like a machine. So tight, so together, with no wasted notes and no hesitation. To sit in the front row of a club with the Basie Band facing you was to feel the power of the music they played, and you would never forget the sound and power. Count Basie's band was always a high-energy powerhouse group, the hippest, swinginest, congregative band ever, whatever that last word means.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just reading from something that was written in a jazz magazine.
I can imagine being there live. There's nothing that could compare.
It really was special, and I've probably heard 100 big bands in my life.
And this one still stood out.
And the Basie Band was so special. It was the most fun to listen to because they could go any way. They could play soft. They could back up Frank Sinatra or Rosemary Clooney. Or they could play jazz. And any way you wanted to go. A Hollywood score.
Now, you said he was from Jersey, but he moved to Kansas?
He was. He was originally from Red Bank, New Jersey.
Okay.
His name is William Basie.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure how he got the name Count, but I think he was reflecting on Duke Ellington, who was older and had a band before Count Basie.
It's interesting you should say that because during the what I got to know about the Calypso artists when I was performing with them, they often went to royal terms as part of their title for some reason.
Well, Duke Ellington was
King
Edward
Obstinate.
Edward Ellington.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, I think in the 30s, they started calling him Duke.
Okay, right.
And Count Basie and his group, I think they picked up on that in the 30s. And he was called Count for as long as most people could remember, the late 1930s.
Yep. Doesn't happen to us white people. We don't get called Counts and Dukes.
Well, hey.
Unless you're being dipped in England.
You're talking about Elvis. He got called King.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, so did Obstie.
Took him a while, though, didn't it?
Yep.
So what other medicine did you bring, Rocco?
I have some other recordings that that I'd like our audience to hear. The first one we heard was One Mint Julep, and it was kind of a jazzy tune. This next one's Moon River, and then I'd like to go directly to a soundtrack that we're all very familiar with.
Now give us your connection with this band. Who is this?
This is Count Basie's band.
Still, okay.
This was recorded in the mid-60s. And Andy Williams had a number one hit with Moon River.
Yeah.
It was very popular.
One of my favorite songs.
And back in the 60s, as you know, the James Bond movies came out.
Right.
And I'm going to play something from a James Bond movie, Count Basie style, and you'll see how he could take that and just make it swing.
Well, Shirley Bassey kind of came from that era, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
Here's Count Basie and his big band, Moon River.
Thank you. You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're listening to WCOM, live and local, right here in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Now back to Claudio.
And, of course, you're still listening to Count Basie, whom Rocco had the pleasure of meeting in person and often caught
I did,
the band performing.
I was able to work a show in the eastern part of the state. Count Basie was the show.
And no doubt.
I was very young. I was about 19 years old, and I was doing the lights for the stage, working with a stage manager. And the Count Basie band was getting ready to perform that evening, and they came in for a little warm-up. And Count Basie was off stage, and the band was setting up. As you know, they go through and rehearse this and that. And I was setting up the chairs, and they finished. Mm-hmm. And I'm in front of the main microphone on the stage, and here Count Basie comes walking out on the stage. He wore this little sailor's fisherman cap.
Ah.
And at that time, he was probably 50 years old. This was 1961. And, of course, I immediately recognized him. He was very nice. He just kind of smiled and went to the piano. And when he sat down, looked at the band, said, one, two, three. And, of course, everyone in that band was a legendary jazz artist, a performer that was at the highest level. And they were all superstars on their instrument, and they were all together in that band at that time. And all of a sudden, I don't know what they played, but here I am, a 19-year-old kid, standing in front of the Count Basie big band, and they just opened up. And it just almost knocked me off the
stage. That'd be like
the
wind blowing, and no doubt.
And no one was in the auditorium. And it just, I'll never forget that moment.
Hmm.
And thinking back at it, the band was just so tight and so good. And they were all so humble. There was no one in the band that was trying to be a show-off or a big show.
They were just good, and they appreciated you liking them.
Just very professional.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that moment. And, of course, that last song that we heard, that instrumental, which was 007,
yeah,
the theme song for the James Bond theme. If you were at one of the concerts, you would hear something like that, and people would be dancing in front of the band and, of course, just taking it all in. The band was just special.
No doubt.
It really was.
I can't even imagine anybody in that band sitting or standing still while this music was being jammed. I imagine everybody was dancing everywhere.
They just would take over the whole atmosphere,
no doubt,
of the theater and the show. And, of course, at that time, there were very, very few big bands left in America.
Hmm.
And the big band genre had moved away to rock and roll and other
things.
And here you had these musicians that were so good. And if you were a musician, a saxophone player, a trombone, trumpet player, and you were good enough to be in the Duke Ellington or Count Basie big band, you were special.
And you were made for life if you joined any of them.
I also remember the Ray Charles show that I kind of did the same thing. And some of those musicians in the Ray Charles band, which was a 20-piece band, they would talk about, well, you know, we're going to try to get a gig with the Basie band and be called up or fill in for someone who can't do a show or two.
Yeah.
And it was always a treat for them to be able to play with these fellas.
I also love what Count Basie did with Moon River. Took Andy Williams completely out, man.
He did. Also, I think the difference, a huge difference between the Duke Ellington band and the Count Basie big band was that the Basie band was a more popular band. It was more middle of the road, easy swinging favorites, whereas the Ellington band was a jazz band, and it's always referred to
a little more sophisticated in that sense.
It was the greatest jazz band ever,
mm-hmm,
and they were a little different. But the musicians in the Ellington band were just as good or better in some cases, for what they were doing.
Gotcha.
And the Ellington Band was another terrific band.
Just want to let our listeners know that the show is being brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham and the Apex Arts Council. You're listening to the Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. And that's Rocco at the helm, and I've got Bob Crowley in the studio as well.
Bob, anything you'd like to say about the Basie Band?
No, I mean, just that I was here leaning back in the chair, eyes closed, and just tripping on this. That's wonderful stuff.
I have another recording, and after this, Claudio, you want to go to...
I'll give a little radio theater after that.
Theater.
Yes. Yeah. I'm doing Gandhi today, folks.
Let me give you a little backup on this piece. This is the Basie Band when he was backing up Frank Sinatra in Las Vegas at one of the big hotels, whichever one Sinatra performed at. And it was considered one of his best big bands ever. And, of course, the show was on for maybe 2 weeks, and Basie would back Frank Sinatra up with all of the songs that he was singing, and it was a terrific show. I have the CD of Frank Sinatra with his singing and Basie. This is just the Count Basie Big Band at that same venue that same night, an hour before the show started, and they had their own show, and you'll get an idea of how powerful that band could be live in person in Las Vegas.
So enjoy some more Count Basie coming at you. We'll be right back.
Community Radio. For Chapel Hill and Carrboro, this is 103.5 FM WCOM. We just heard Count Basie and his big band live from Las Vegas. Now Claudio.
I'm going to give it a moment of radio theater, and I'm just going to do some reading from a book called The Words of Gandhi, as selected by Richard Attenborough, who made the movie Gandhi. Just some words of wisdom. The spinning wheel means national consciousness and a contribution by every individual to a definite, constructive national work. It was our love of foreign cloth that ousted the wheel from its position of dignity. If India was to escape with such a disaster, let me start that again. I'm slipping over my own tongue here. If India was to escape such a disaster, it had to imitate what was best in America and other Western countries and leave aside its attractive-looking but destructive economic policies. Therefore, real planning consisted in the best utilization of the whole manpower of India and the distribution of the raw products of India in her numerous villages instead of sending them outside and rebuying finished articles at fabulous prices. A true and non-violent combination of labor would act like a magnet, attracting to it all the needed capital. Capitalists would then exist only as trustees. When that happy day dawned, there would be no difference between capital and labor. Those who labor will have ample food, good and sanitary dwellings, all the necessary education for their children, ample leisure for self-education, and proper medical assistance. Would it were that it were that way here. As I look at Russia, where the apotheosis of industrialization has been reached, the life there does not appeal to me. To use the language of the Bible, what shall it avail a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In modern terms, it is beneath human dignity to lose one's individuality and become a mere cog in the machine. I want every individual to become a full-blooded, fully developed member of society. The introduction of manual training will serve a double purpose in a poor country like ours. It will pay for the education of our children and teach them an occupation on which they can fall back in later life, if they choose, for earning a living. Such a system must make our children self-reliant. Nothing would demoralize the nation so much as that we should learn to despise labor. A nation that is capable of limitless sacrifice is capable of rising to limitless heights. The purer the sacrifice, the quicker the progress. My patriotism is not an exclusive thing. It is all-embracing, and I should reject that patriotism which sought to mount upon the distress of the exploitation of other nationalities. The conception of my patriotism is nothing if it is not always, in every case without exception, consistent with the broadest good of humanity at large. Just as the cult of patriotism teaches us today that the individual has to die for the family, the family has to die for the village for the district for the province, and the province for the country. So a country has to be free in order that it may die, if necessary, for the benefit of the world. Political power means capacity to regulate national life through national representatives. If national life becomes so perfect as to become self-regulated, representation becomes unnecessary. There is then a state of enlightened anarchy. In such a state, everyone is his own ruler. He rules himself in such a manner that he is never a hindrance to his neighbor. In the ideal state, therefore, there is no political power because there is no state. But the ideal is never fully realized in life. Hence the classical statement of Thoreau that government is best which governs least. Not to be confused with the Republican mantra that takes all meaning out of it. And I'm not saying a thing about the Democrats. They're right lined up there with him. Just wanted to make sure that Gandhi's words are understood. Let us not push the mandate theory to ridiculous extremes and become slave to resolutions of majorities. That would be a revival of brute force in a more virulent form. If rights of minorities are to be respected, the majority must tolerate and respect their opinion and action. It will be the duty of the majority to see to it that the minorities receive a proper hearing and are not otherwise exposed to insults. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people cannot be conducted at the bidding of one man, however great he may be. Liberty never meant the license to do anything at will.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Also, look to his homepage for his YouTube channel link. Now back to Claudio.
And, boy, that was good to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Old Gandhi's words. Of course, Gandhi was very inspired by Henry David Thoreau.
Yep.
For some reason, my mic seems to have gone down. Can you boost me up a little there, Rocco? Thank you. That's it. I need to be run a little hot, despite the fact that I have all this bass tone in my voice. Anyway, so I just wanted to convey that. It seemed to fit with Memorial Day, which was yesterday, and so on. And
absolutely.
I wanted to bring that to the table. Now, cue us in on some more of
Count Basie. He had two theme songs. The early one he helped write with Benny Goodman and Harry James. It was called 1 o'clock Jump. And the second one, the later one that came about in the 50s, the 1 o'clock Jump came about in the 30s. And Count Basie was very close to Benny Goodman back in those days and performed with him and was a piano player. Him along with Teddy Wilson and Gene Krupa, Harry James, they were all in the Benny Goodman big band. Anyway, the second one was Jumping at the Woodside, which was a high-powered finale to a lot of his shows, along with 1 o'clock Jump. I'm going to play Jumping at the Woodside first. It's long. It's 10 or 15 minutes, this version. So I'm going to play a little of it and then fade to 1 o'clock Jump.
Okay.
And this
he liked that term, jump, huh?
He did. And that this rendition of 1 o'clock Jump was arranged by Neil Hefti, who we were talking about a few weeks ago, who was Count Basie's arranger and later influenced so many other people in the music business. And Neil Hefti influenced Quincy Jones, who was the young kid when Neil Hefti was Count Basie's arranger, and Gerald Wilson and countless others. So here's the Count Basie Big Band. Yes, Claudio?
And just one more quick plug. The show is being brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham as well as the Apex Arts Council. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. Thank you for tuning us in.
Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is 103.5, and this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
And you've been listening to the amazing
Count Basie.
Count Basie and his
just,
big
just, band. Wow, there's no sound like that today.
Nope.
There really isn't.
And I hope you folks out there are enjoying this, because if you could see the three of us in here right now, we're jumping around like mad. This is great stuff.
Absolutely.
Just having fun.
We're chair dancing here. Bob, I wanted to ask you, just to give the folks out there a historical perspective on Memorial Day.
Yeah, we have Memorial Day, and unfortunately, a lot of people are confusing this with Veterans Day. Everybody is, oh, support the troops.
Frequently,
support
yes.
the troops. Hey, that's fine. Support the troops. Wonderful. Memorial Day, though, is not about that. Memorial Day is a day for remembering those who've died. This is not necessarily for the folks out there now. This is to remember the fact that there are a number of people.
Those that have come and gone.
Yeah, may have made the supreme sacrifice. And it didn't start yesterday. It actually dates back to 1860-something or other, about 1863, I believe, in South Carolina. And it grew out of a celebration that the slaves of a freed plantation held for the Union soldiers that freed them from their master. And from there it went on, it caught on to other things. Lincoln proclaimed it, other presidents. We used to call it Decoration Day because it's when we decorated the graves. Mm. So keep that in mind, that that's the real meaning.
Good thing
there.
To know. Take it to heart. This
Absolutely.
Is the true meaning. And Rocco, I think we've got a minute before we wrap, so anything you want to add about the Count Basie experience?
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the music on the show.
I can't see how they didn't. I know I did.
Count Basie Big Band.
I know I did.
Yeah. Always a lot of fun.
Thank you, folks, for tuning us in. We'll be back next week. Rocco, Bob, and me signing off. Tune in again next week. We had a saying once before. I think I'll repeat it. You tune us in, and we'll keep you turned on. That's a promise from the Speakeasy. Until next time, cheers.